Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today. I appreciate it. In this particular episode, we're going to talk about a number of things. First up, I've got a short video compilation regarding deaths and injuries with respect to the CV jab. It's kind of unconscionable to me that the leaders that you'll see in this video, and the link is in the transcript, can continue to double down and push something that appears to clearly be detrimental to way too many people. Yet they persist in pushing the COVID, vax, jab, whatever you like to call it, and even making boosters mandatory in some areas of the world. Why? The video is just under 4 minutes, and it's compiled clips highlighting how leaders of various countries continue to push this, what seems to be very dangerous CV jab, in spite of the known detrimental effects. So please watch and please share it. Now, along those lines, I've got another link in the transcript for a Pfizer document that was just released by court order through Freedom of Information Act. And after reading it, it's very clear why the FDA wanted to keep this information hidden from the public for at least 50 years. So far, there have been, and again, this is Pfizer's own documentation. So the first batch of these documents show that within the first 90 days of the implementation of this vaccine, there were 1,200 deaths just in the first 90 days. And there's a lot more to it than that. So you can look at the document. I encourage you to download it, share it with people you know. And really, the whole thing is shameful. And again, to emphasize, it is from Pfizer's own studies regarding their own vaccine. And I find it just as unconscionable that leaders within Christendom have pushed and continue to push this vaccine and will likely double down in spite of this information that's been newly released. Will they continue to believe that pharma companies just really want to help people? I don't know. Well, I find it astounding that restrictions that have been placed on doctors and pharmacies because of all of what's going on in society. If my doctor, for instance, who has been fully trained to be an actual medical doctor, wants to prescribe me ivermectin or HQC or something else entirely to help me fight COVID, why should their hands be tied? Why? Why should they be literally forbidden to write such a prescription? Or why are pharmacies forbidden from filling it? What is the harm? What is the harm? There are cases where hospital staff, for instance, refused to allow an outside doctor to treat one of their patients who was on his or her deathbed with ivermectin. Those patients eventually died. Now, in one recent case, a man was near death in the hospital, and he was refused ivermectin after his daughter requested its use, and there's a link in the transcript. He had been on a mechanical ventilator in ICU and was in serious decline. The man's daughter asked an outside doctor to treat her father with ivermectin, but the hospital refused to allow this fully qualified physician to come into the hospital to treat the patient. So the daughter went to court. The judge agreed that since her father was already close to death, it certainly would not be harmful to treat him with ivermectin. Nothing would be lost, maybe something gained. But the hospital still refused because they said the outside physician was not vaccinated. The judge again ruled against the hospital, stating that as long as the physician could provide a negative test for COVID, the vaccine should not be an issue. The hospital finally backed down, and the doctor began treating the patient with ivermectin, which was administered to this patient from November 8th to November 12th. The patient began to improve immediately, and he was released from the hospital on November 27th. Now, according to the article, again, that I've linked in the transcript, the patient, a 71-year-old man who had been on a mechanical ventilator in the ICU, as I stated, has now fully recovered from COVID. Ivermectin was approved as a drug in the 1980s for human use, mainly as an antiparasitic, but it also has antiviral properties as well. Many drugs are prescribed for something, and they have benefits in other areas as well. So it was approved in the 1980s for human use, and there is unfortunately a good deal of fear-mongering concerning this particular drug today. Yet people are attesting to the fact, and I'm one of them, that it has worked for them where COVID is concerned. It helped me, as I've mentioned previously. But the big question here is, why on earth would any hospital oppose treating a dying patient with ivermectin or anything else if there is a chance that the patient would be saved? Why wouldn't that hospital be willing to try just about anything to save each and every patient? Would it have to do with money? Does the hospital receive money after the death of every patient who is said to die either with or from COVID? I'm literally flabbergasted that hospitals are only willing to do what the CDC or the FDA recommends, and yet it has become clear, or at least should be, that both the FDA and the CDC appear to be just simply mouthpieces for pharmaceutical companies. Both of these agencies can and do accept donations and funding from outside organizations, and much of that comes from Big Pharma. Wouldn't that cause a conflict of interests? Wouldn't it? Moreover, why would hospitals forbid a top ICU doctor from being able to treat patients the way he believes is best for that particular patient, as in the case of a doctor I've linked in the transcript? He's had to go to court to sue so that he can practice medicine the way he believes it should be practiced. I mean, the whole thing is absurd. The idea that you have to take a hospital to court to force them to use a drug that may save a life says a good deal. Remember, the man that we referred to, the 71-year-old patient, was on his deathbed with very little hope of survival. How could ivermectin or HQC make the situation worse? But do you want to bet that the hospital continued treating other COVID patients the same way they were treating this other patient instead of being willing to try ivermectin on all of them? Now, moving on, I want to briefly highlight the app that I highlighted and talked about before, Push Health, so that folks can have some options. Please note that Push Health does not accept any type of health insurance, so anyone choosing to use them as a health option will be paying out of pocket. Now, if I recall, the health consultation that I had with a doctor through them was about $65. The medicine that I got from them was a bit over $200, if my memory serves correctly. This was just for ivermectin, which used to be cheaper, but with the amount of people who want it these days and are trying to get it, well, the price has gone up. That's the way it works with capitalism. Barring using Push Health, there's another app called Medici, M-E-D-I-C-I, which has the same type of situation associated with it. But if you can't use those apps, the next best thing is to find a doctor in your local area who works as an independent practitioner or is employed by an independent small family-owned clinic. These people do not have to follow mandates handed down by CEOs from their ivory towers that are from ultimately the CDC. They can take those recommendations as they want to, but it's not automatic. And it's also best to have access to a local pharmacy that is also independent or family owned, who will be far more apt to simply fill a legitimate prescription from a doctor rather than decide they will act as doctor and pharmacy. So you're best to avoid the corporate pharmacies, and you know who they are. When I set up my Push Health account, and I've got images in the transcript, I was able to set up a case where, because I was already experiencing some vague symptoms of what eventually turned out to be COVID, I was able to list those. Now, I'm not sure if a person can request a consult with a physician for a prophylaxis prescription for ivermectin or not. you know, a person not having any symptoms. Patients have the option of doing a phone consult or doing everything through the app. I personally chose the latter. The doctor assigned to my case asked me questions through the message center in the app, and I submitted answers to those questions the same way, through the app. I also had the option of using one of their independent pharmacies or my own, which did come up when they searched for pharmacies. I found out later that my own pharmacy here locally would have also filled the medication, and my insurance would probably have covered it. I didn't really want to take the chance at that point, though, so I simply went through their pharmacy and paid out of pocket. Now, in the end, things ultimately went fairly smoothly. PushHelp kept me posted via the in-app messaging system and ultimately let me know when my prescription had been filled and how it would be shipped to me. I recommend them, and I first learned, by the way, about PushHelp through journalist Alex Berenson, and I've got a link to his site there. In his book that was just released, Pandemia, How Coronavirus Hysteria Took Over Our Government Rights and Lives, is something he's just released and written, and that's it's available through Amazon. And by the way, another book I've just purchased is by Dr. Mark McDonald called United States of Fear, How America Fell Victim to a Mass Delusional Psychosis. Dr. McDonald is part of America's frontline doctors. You know, all those quote-unquote conspiracy theorists who have no clue about medicine. That is, if you listen to the left. Push Health, for me, did the job, and it's because of them I was able to have ivermectin at the ready when I needed it. I'm sure since then they've only gotten busier. In fact, I know several other people who have benefited from ivermectin personally, while Dr. Fauci and other bureaucrats continue to warn people of the dangers of using ivermectin. Yeah, if people go to Tractor Supply and buy ivermectin paste for horses and then they ingest it, there will be problems. Humans need to take ivermectin tablets, and the dosage is based on a person's weight, so a doctor is needed for that. But I continue to wonder how many people have died in hospitals because of the banning of both HQC and ivermectin and the use instead of remdesivir as mandatory, even though remdesivir tends to shut down the kidneys, but they still go ahead and use it. People died because HQC and ivermectin, they were banned. And also, they died from remdesivir. What would have been the harm in trying HQC or ivermectin in an attempt to save lives? Now, granted, HQC has much more efficacy in the very early stages of COVID treatment from everything I've read. Ivermectin, on the other hand, has efficacy all the way through the disease, all the way through. So if you're just starting to get symptoms and you take ivermectin, you're going to be healed. Chances are good. If you're later in the disease and you take it, you're still probably going to be on your way to healing. Or, as in the case of the 71-year-old man who was on a ventilator and in ICU and on near death, who started taking ivermectin and now is fully recovered. Ivermectin has great efficacy. I'm not going to listen to people like Dr. Fauci. And I have to wonder why they continue to pan ivermectin. Makes no sense to me unless they have an ulterior motive going on or unless they just are clueless. Well, in my mind, telling people they can't have ivermectin is like saying, no, don't do the chest compressions to that person who has stopped breathing. It may save them, but gosh, it may break their rib cage. I know it's not quite the same thing, but I hope you get the point. Shouldn't doctors and medical professionals have the freedom to do everything possible to save every person, or should they be forced to stick with protocols that are admittedly problematic and not as efficacious as they would like us to believe? I personally think that if a doctor goes all the way through all the years of training and study and everything and residency it takes to become a doctor, then they should have the freedom to be able to use items and medications and treatments that they believe will actually make a difference. Ivermectin, unfortunately, is largely forbidden today, but let's rely on a vax that remains experimental. has not been fully approved. I mean, goodness sakes, it offers no real efficacy against COVID. Let's do that, shall we? We know that both vaxxed and unvaxxed can get and spread COVID. So what is the benefit then of the vax if everybody can get it? At best, it may provide limited immunity against one protein in COVID, but it's not going to provide immunity for all proteins. And obviously, the immunity that comes from a syringe is not that long lasting, is it? Because of all the second shots and the boosters that people need. Natural immunity for a person who had CV and survived it is far better. It's far more robust. This is a statement based on the testimony of many doctors and medical researchers. I'm not just making that up. We are constantly told to listen to the science, yet we are faced with a growing body of scientism, which is not even close to actual science, based on what many other reputable doctors are saying. Any doctor today who fights for patients' rights to be treated with any treatment they deem prudent for CV is automatically relegated to the realm of conspiracy theorists. Now, in the end, CV is a virus, plain and simple. And viruses have been around for eons. They are constantly mutating. They are never, never completely eradicated from society. And the idea that we're somehow going to eradicate CV is absolute nonsense. It is not the first virus rodeo for most doctors today. Why are their hands tied as far as treatments are concerned? We need to start thinking critically. More of us need to start thinking critically, and we need to politely resist. If not, we will be forced to take jabs, accept digital passports, and control totally over our lives. We may not have the energy to fight every battle, but certainly the battle with COVID is one worth waging as far as I'm concerned because of what it appears the globalists are trying to achieve worldwide. Just take a look at Australia, Austria, Gibraltar, Iceland, England, France, and other places as well as certain states, even within the United States. No one should be forced to accept a vax against their moral principles. No one. If someone wants to take the vax, fine, go for it. Forcing people? No. Now, on a related note, my wife submitted her religious exemption to her work, and after meeting with the head of human resources, it appears that it will be accepted. While I think that that's absolutely wonderful and a major blessing, isn't it odd that we have come to this point where a person has to come forward and explain why they won't take the vax? I know people who have offered medical exemptions written by their doctors, which were not approved by their places of employment. The absurdity knows no end, it seems. My wife was able to explain her biblical position, and for that, God is honored. Amen. Who knows if the person she spoke with has ever really heard the gospel, or even what the Bible says about certain things, right? God be glorified. Well, have a great weekend, everyone, and we will chat with you next week, Lord willing. But until we meet again, I pray that God will open your eyes to show you how blessed you are in Him.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.